Welcome back to Lungcast, the monthly respiratory health podcast series from the American Lung Association and medical news site hcplive.com. I'm your host, Dr. Albert Rizzo, the Chief Medical Officer for the American Lung Association. Before we introduce our topic and our guest today, just a reminder that Lungcast is available on all your favorite streaming platforms. Subscribe to @Lungcast on YouTube to get new and archived episodes, as well as interview segments and episode highlights as they come out. A link to the show page, as well as the ALA and hcplive.com homepages for Lungcast, can be found in each episode description. For those of you who prefer a podcast, you can subscribe to Lungcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and your favorite listening platforms. You can also register for more respiratory news and insights at both lung.org and hcplive.com. Wildfires are increasing in size and frequency worldwide, due in part to the hotter and drier conditions that are occurring globally. While heat from fires can cause bodily injury, the smoke is also concerning due to the large amounts of chemicals and toxins released into the air. As global temperatures rise, we expect the size, frequency, and severity of wildfires to increase in the years ahead. Parts of the world are already experiencing increases in weather conducive to wildfires. And in places from California, as we've recently seen, to the Siberian Arctic, we have seen record-breaking wildfires. Now, wildfires are unplanned fires that burn in forests, grasslands, and other ecosystems, and as we've seen recently, can encompass our homes and communities. They can start with a natural event like a lightning strike or by accident as the result of human activity, which is unfortunately the case in close to 85% of the wildfires. Campfires, discarded cigarettes, and electrical equipment like downed power lines all spark wildfires. Hotter temperatures evaporate more moisture from soil and vegetation, drying out trees, shrubs, and grasses, and turning leaf litter and fallen branches into kindling. As noted by Dr. Tammy Thompson, a senior air quality scientist at the Environmental Defense Fund, the larger fires have enough heat and upward momentum to send their plumes into the troposphere, above the ground level layer of air, where there are fewer removal pathways and stronger upper level winds. This is one reason they can travel such long distances. Now, to further discuss this topic and the impact on our health, we're lucky today to have Dr. Afif Elhassan. Dr. Elhassan is a pediatrician with Kaiser Permanente in Orange County, California. He's been an active member of the organization's asthma care management team for more than 13 years, which strives to optimize the care of thousands of patients living with asthma. He's a member of the Environmental Justice Advisory Group in the Southern California Air Quality Management District, which addresses poor air quality in low-income areas of Southern California. Dr. Elhassan has a special interest in childhood asthma, and his areas of additional expertise include the health effects of air pollution, health impacts of smoking, tobacco cessation, children's lung health, lung health legislation and advocacy, youth smoking rates, vaccination, and the health impacts of extreme weather changes. Now, as busy as he sounds, he still finds time to volunteer for the American Lung Association and is currently on the National Board of Directors and acts as a national medical spokesperson for the organization. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me on, Dr. Rizzo.
Now, before we begin the discussion regarding wildfires specifically and their toxic pollutants, would you please give some general advice to our listeners regarding the habit of monitoring air quality on a more regular basis due to extremes in weather we are seeing? We know that day-to-day changes in PM 2.5 and ozone occur in different parts of our country, and many of our patients are more vulnerable to these issues than others. And I'm speaking about such things as airnow.gov. And we also have our state of the air report that comes out yearly from the American Lung Association.
The sites that you mentioned are very important and are wonderful tools to use. But to your point, the air quality, especially when you're dealing with areas of wildfires, can change very quickly. So it's very important to find a local site. I like here in Southern California, the Air Quality Management District site, but there are different sites available which will give you air quality readings for your local area. And bear in mind, the air quality can change street by street. So the more specific the data that you have, the better for your health. And I'm also going to emphasize something very important. Even if you are told by a site that the air in your area, and specifically where you live, is healthy, trust the most important air quality indicator, which is yourself. If you can smell smoke, and or the air around you is irritating your upper airways or lungs, even if the website says everything's great, there is an issue there, and there is some pollution there that you need to be mindful of.
Great advice, great advice. We know that wildfire smoke is a mixture of a number of hazardous air pollutants. Air pollution from wildfires can cause and worsen cardiovascular and respiratory problems, including asthma attacks. We know that children, pregnant people, older adults, and people with chronic conditions like heart disease or lung diseases such as asthma or COPD are particularly vulnerable to the health effects of wildfire smoke. Can you please tell our listeners what is contained in the wildfire smoke and how the components of this mixture affect our respiratory and cardiovascular health?
The wildfire smoke actually has a lot of different chemicals and particles in it. So it's going to have particles in it that can irritate the upper airway, the nose, the back of the throat, and get into the lungs. And the size of those particles have a very important bearing on what you have to be cautious about. The smaller the particle, the farther it gets down into the lungs. And you may have heard the term PM 2.5. Those are the particles that are 2.5 microns, which is a millionth of a centimeter, and are able to get down not only past our lung defenses, but can also get into the bloodstream. So we are concerned about those particles, and we are also concerned about the chemicals that come from wildfires. Those chemicals number in the thousands from a simple burn. And some of those chemicals can cause cancer or irritation or other poison effects on the body, and we have to be mindful. So it's both a combination of the particles themselves causing the irritation, but also those chemicals as well.
As you mentioned, the large wildfires that can destroy towns and burn homes and structures that contain a lot of human-made materials that can release even more toxic pollutants, making the air quality worse than the usual forest fire pollutants. Aside from the chemicals contained in wildfire smoke that you've discussed, discuss some of the other toxins that people should be aware of when they're returning to their areas of their homes and towns where wildfires have gone through.
Thank you for bringing that up, Dr. Rizzo. Those homes are made of metal. They're made with wood. They're made with PVC pipes and other structures that you are not going to see in a forest. And with these hot fires, you are creating all kinds of extra chemicals and pollution that we have to be very cautious about, even more so than with a wildfire that's sitting in a forest somewhere. The chemicals can include arsenic from the homes, asbestos from older homes, lead and the byproducts of PVC pipes and drywall, which can be extremely toxic. And the problem with these chemicals is not only can they be dangerous going into the lungs, but they can be dangerous on our skin as well, getting in, irritating the skin, and entering the bloodstream through that way. The danger does not end with the end of a fire. The fact that there is soot that's sitting around in those areas still makes it a danger. And we need to emphasize the fact that these chemicals from these homes being burned down and the surrounding areas and the soot and the particles are going to be around for weeks and months to come and can be spread through the wind or just sitting there in the middle of the home that had been burned down or the site that had been burned down in the wilder areas.
Are there any specific types of masks you recommend for individuals going back to their homes in these areas?
I like the N95 masks and N100 masks. Those are great. Because we are dealing with trying to just protect yourself, if they have a valve on them, they're a little bit more comfortable to use. So when you inhale, you're filtering the air that's around you. And when you exhale, you're exhaling out through that valve. And it's a little bit more comfortable, it feels a little less hot. But putting a bandana around your mouth or using just a regular dust protector is not going to be enough. You have to have an airtight seal with one of the masks that I just mentioned in order to protect yourself from the particles that are in the air.
Thank you. Now, aside from some of the acute effects on health that you've discussed, is there some evidence for longer, more chronic effects of wildfire exposure?
Unfortunately, there are, and we have to be very mindful of them. And it's one of the reasons why we have to be so careful, not only during the fire, but also afterwards in our exposure to those areas. The lungs are the most obvious area where we can see long-term effects. It can cause prolonged issues with asthma, prolonged damage to the lungs that can cause long-term problems with lung capacity, or it can exacerbate other lung disease as well. It can also affect the heart and the other organs in the body long term. There are studies that have shown an increase in the amount of heart disease and the number of deaths from heart disease and lung disease long term after exposure to these wildfires and the chemicals and particles associated with it. Increased risk of problems with pregnancies moving forward, and unfortunately, also an increase in the prevalence and incidence of cancer after exposure to the wildfires and those chemicals as well. So it is a long-term issue, and people have to take that very seriously when they go back to areas with the where these fires have occurred.
You've given us a lot of good information today. Are there any other aspects of this topic of wildfires and air pollution you'd like to discuss with us today?
There's a few important ones that I always like to emphasize. First and foremost, mind your health and make sure, just like you have a plan with your physician with any other disease or condition, you should do the same if you are going to anticipate being in an area with wildfires or areas with high pollution, especially in the short term. This is not going to change moving forward. You should make sure that you have up-to-date medications that you're supposed to be taking, have enough of a supply available so that you don't have to go out in the middle of a wildfire or in the middle of that smoke to go pick up an inhaler. If you have asthma or lung disease, make sure you're on the appropriate asthma preventative medications, and make sure that if you are having issues with depression or mental health issues from the trauma of everything that's going on, that is perfectly normal, but don't be afraid to seek help and do so early on. These fires not only cause physical devastation in the areas, they also affect people emotionally. It breaks up neighborhoods, it breaks up circles of friends, and it affects people financially. So make sure you're taking care of your physical health, keep your bodies healthy and as tuned up as possible, and mind the fact that if you need mental health intervention, do so early and don't be afraid or embarrassed to do so. I will also say be careful with exercise and exposure in those areas when you're out in the areas where there's wildfires, and pay attention to the EPA and other warnings for going back. If you can't smell the smoke, it doesn't mean you're necessarily safe. Listen to what the specialists and experts are saying in the area and make sure that you're mindful to take any protective measures that are recommended, and take it extremely serious, and make sure that you are mindful to minimize the amount of time that you spend in areas where there are these toxins.
Great advice once again. So I want to thank you for taking the time today and for your volunteerism for the American Lung Association. To our listeners, if you want to hear more regarding all things respiratory related, we have a great archive of discussions on our show feeds. So be sure again to subscribe and rate Lungcast on your preferred listening or watching platform, and visit lung.org and hcplive.com for more news and resources. Until next time, I'm Dr. Albert Rizzo, reminding you that if you can't breathe, nothing else matters.